Living Faith with Father Richard Umbers.
The Annunciation is recounted at the beginning of St. Luke's Gospel. A very humble, a very hidden event. No one saw it. No one but Our Lady knew of it. And at the same time, it was crucial to our history, such that time is divided by this event. Before Christ and Anno Domini in the year of our Lord. This indeed is news. As we get older, we become ever increasingly junkies for news. Means of communication make that possible with social media. Generally with Twitter, you can find out things almost instantaneously, like the resignation of the Pope. I knew it within minutes because of Twitter. But here we have the messenger par excellence, an angel, who communicates to Our Lady the will of God. And she freely responds with a yes. We too receive messengers. We too are visited by the messenger of God in our prayer. We have our guardian angel. We speak, Lord, with you. We talk to God, our Father. And we can say yes or we can say no. Here, in obedience to the will of God, we have two yeses. Above all, the yes of Christ to the Father, but also mirroring that yes is Our Lady's yes. Those two yeses meet. And because of that, God takes on a human face. And the same can be said by analogy with our own yes to the grace of God. Because when we say yes to you, Lord, when we say yes to the will of God our Father, we begin to live the same life that you live, Jesus, here on earth. And in that way, we show who Christ is to all of those around us. People come to see you, Lord, to know you through our actions. When we are filled with grace, when we are the beloved of God. Through our following in the school of Mary, our discipleship, your face, Lord, continues to be seen by others. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to your word. Zechariah had proved incredulous. How can this be? I'm old, my wife is old. What do you mean? You know, this, that we will have a son. He refused to believe, or rather showed doubt in the angel's message. Our Lady, when she asks, but how can this be, is not showing any distrust in the power of God, but rather is seeking clarification as to how it should come about. There's a lot of literary device going on here with these parallels that Luke draws in the Gospel. But we see that attitude of faith on the part of Our Lady. I will, be it done unto me. Just, you know, show me how you want it to happen. And we do the same when we say yes to the will of God. When we pray, when we carry out with deeds in our life that which pertains to the calling God has made to each one of us. That is faith. Living faith. Operative faith. Faith with deeds. Where we show what we believe. And that's always very moving. When people realize that you know, we really mean what we say. And precisely by following after you, Lord, by following your example, by looking to how you lived when we read the Gospels, because of this event, this incarnation, this becoming a man like us in all things, except for sin, we realize that by living a divine life, we become more human. Lord, you are the perfect man, and in you, we discover what it means to be human, what we are capable of as persons, how we can live every day with charity, with forgiveness, with love for those who treat us badly. And we also realize that we have no reason to be self-righteous, no reason to think ourselves without sin, because we realize it's not enough simply to be good, or rather to be goodish, but that we are called to be saints, be holy as the Lord is holy. And we realize when we see your conduct, Lord, as you live out that life in the Gospels of prayer until late in the evening, sometimes through the entire night, of attending to people one by one, of showing forgiveness, Father, forgive them for they do not know what they are doing, of touching lepers, of speaking clearly of the will of God and of the teaching of God the Father, and yet also being open to all people without prejudice. And we realize, well, we have a long way to go, each one of us, if we are to be saints. We need to know you, Lord, and your humanity. The way of Christian prayer is Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, God made man. That is our faith. That's what makes us Christians. If not, we could join the Star Wars religion and be Jedis, using the Force. We could have some exalted notion of God as the supreme, but live our own lives with a vague spirituality. And here we see very specific actions. We see, or hear rather, advice from you, Lord, which goes into the concrete, about loving others. When you got down from the table, Lord, and wrapped that towel around your waist and washed the feet of your disciples, you said, you call me Lord and Master. You're right, I am. But if I've done this for you, how much more you ought to do this for the others? We realize, Lord, we're called to serve, all of us, to serve. Runs so contrary to the way that people think, with terms of power and getting ahead and trade-offs. I'll give this for you, but what will you give to me? No, we're called to serve, each one of us. And positions of leadership and authority are always positions of service. And that's how we imitate you, Lord, in our everyday life, by being of service to others in concrete actions. And we can ask, you know, when I'm at table, do I attend to the needs of others, or does my tummy always occupy first place? Those little details of refined charity, of waiting till the others have been served before we tuck in. Those little details of asking other people, you know, serving them first with a glass of water, or asking them if they need anything. Or being so refined in our charity, we don't even have to ask. We already know what they want and what they need, and we meet those needs. And that for anybody, whoever they may be. Because in them we see another Christ. And that's a very practical little detail. But there we see the manifestation of the love of God. We make you, Lord, present when we get down from the table, when we wrap that towel around ourselves, when we wash the feet of our brethren. In so many different ways. And the Holy Father, Pope Francis, is giving us a very visual example of what it means to serve. Sure, it's symbolic, but he's doing it for good reason, so that we might imitate this way of serving those around us. This is what it means to be following God made man. That yes that you make, Lord, that yes of Our Lady is renewed when we seek to be saints and also say yes. The church begins with your incarnation, Lord. But you come about because of this privileged channel, which is Our Lady, known as the aqueduct. Aqueductus, the channel of this grace. And there is a constant wonder that we should contemplate in the life of Our Lady. What happened when the angel gave that message? And we see the answer in the very greeting, Ave, gratia plena. To no one else in the Bible is this title given, gratia plena, unparalleled in the rest of sacred scripture. Beloved of God, filled with grace. Who has always been and will be forever loved by the Lord. What is Our Lady's response to knowing that she is being loved by God? The manifestation of her desire to go along with it, to accept it, to say yes. And then to live in consequence with that, as she did every day, even to the foot of the cross, sharing with you, Jesus, that radical act of self-giving. And what about us? Do we seek to be beloved by God? Do we live in awareness that we are sons of God? And in that way, being hungry to fulfill the will of God? Seeking intimacy with you, Lord? Our Lady carried you 9 months in her womb and then spent her time with you. And you realize, well, there is a natural love for one's child. But we too, we carry you, Lord, within us when we are in the state of grace, please God. We forget about that. But that's what our faith teaches us. God dwells in our soul in a new way. The Blessed Trinity is present within us. We are temples of the Holy Spirit with baptismal grace in our soul. That sharing in the inner life of God, who is a family. If only we had presence of God through the day and we realized, my goodness, I carry God within me. That would really be something. When the priest at times takes communion to the sick, he has that special privilege of carrying the Blessed Sacrament around his neck. Normally, most people would have no idea. They just see the priest with a cord around his neck and something tucked in his pocket. But the priest knows. Many times is there, you know, saying aspirations and praying in his heart to our Lord. But we should be doing that all the time. We just forget. If only we knew, if only we remembered, if only we made our own that response that we see in the author's interpretation of Psalm 39, that author to the letter to the Hebrews, who sees that here I am, I come to do your will, O God. And he sees that reflected in you yourself, Jesus. When Christ came into the world, he said, here I am. I have come to do your will, O God. We see there that ecce ego. Here I am. Here I am because you have called me. Qui evocaste me. Ecce. Is also there that here I am of Our Lady. Ecce ancilla Domini. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. And when they come together, we have a single amen to the will of God. Be it done. And that icon of the Annunciation helps us to see clearly how everything in the church goes back to the mystery of Mary's acceptance of the divine word through that action of the Holy Spirit, that covenant between God and humanity, perfectly sealed. And everything in the church, every institution, every ministry, is included under the Virgin's mantle, under her yes to the will of God. We realize that things in the world pass away. Only love remains in eternity. Only love remains. And that love takes its root here and now, when we give of ourselves, with that love by which, Lord, you have loved us. In which Our Lady carries in her womb. And at the foot of the cross is made the new Eve, mother of all those who are alive in grace. Continuing that work after her assumption into heaven, for the whole church, till all be in all, till we reach that definitive eschatological end, the last judgment, and the resurrection of the flesh. When that kingdom, which has begun, reaches its plenitude, Our Lady oversees all of us in our work in building up the church. But in our response, Lord, to you and saying yes and having faith, it means necessarily that we become more human. We become a better friend of those around us. We show ourselves to be a neighbor. Our Lady goes in haste to her kinswoman, Elizabeth, because she knows that being older, she will find it difficult carrying that baby. She also perhaps goes in search of advice as well, or of encouragement. But that initiative she takes to go to see her cousin is one of genuine charity. It's humble. It's courageous. It's motivated by faith in your word, Lord, by the inner promptings of the Holy Spirit. And so when we love, we forget about ourselves. We place ourselves at the service of our neighbor. That is the image and model of the church. We see that in Our Lady. Scripture makes a deliberate play between that woman, crowned with the 12 stars, who is pregnant. Yes, it's Mary, and yes, it's also the church. And then we too. In that way, in response to that message of the angel to us, that messenger, whom you send to us, Lord, we change in the way we carry out our everyday work with this new attitude of service, this new attitude of love, which is the response in faith to the will of God made known to us in our prayer. Beforehand, perhaps, as the point in the way says, you know, we used to just peel potatoes. But now we are sanctifying ourselves peeling potatoes. On the outside, nothing has changed terribly much. But on the inside, there is a whole new dimension to the way we carry out our everyday work. Because of the reality of the incarnation, there is a definite before and after in our life through that encounter we have with you, Jesus. You have become a man like us, Lord, so that we could be like you in our everyday lives with a very positive struggle. Loving you, Lord, not just in theory, not just with words, not just with some vague desire, but with very specific details of affection in the way we go about our day. Sanctifying peeling potatoes. Sanctifying work, sanctifying meals, sanctifying friendships. In the one hand, everything's very normal, it's very natural, it's the same as it was before, but in another sense, we do it now as a new creature in Christ. The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and so too with ourselves, we dwell amongst other men and other women. But as a Christian, maybe seeing your example, Lord, we say, but I'm too weak. You could, Lord, have redeemed us in any number of ways, but you chose this one, to become one of us. Not only born a man, born of a woman. We realize, you know, that phrase in Galatians is so important because Christianity is not some ideology. It's not some great idea or concept. As Pope Emeritus Benedict would say, you know, a concept doesn't have a mother, a real woman. So too, you know, our following of you, Jesus, is the following of a real person, a divine person who's been made man. But it's about following Jesus Christ. And not only are you born of a woman, you are born under the law, taking on the whole history of weakness and limitation, all the way back to Abraham, all the way back to Adam. But showing us a way out of this weakness, giving us grace. The new Adam, the mediator between God and ourselves, we are redeemed. It's not, Lord, that you are some mild-mannered teacher who says vaguely, you know, sort of inspiring things. No, you give us a very concrete example, Lord, of walking along the paths of Galilee, getting into that boat, teaching the people from the side of the boat, but working miracles. And uniting yourself to each one of us through your incarnation, lifting us up, who are the lost sheep, onto your shoulders, the Good Shepherd, dying for each one of us personally on that cross. And as Paul said, so can we. You, Lord, you died for me. You died for me. Not just a vague teaching. You died for me. Historically, in reality, 2,000 years ago. And you rose from the dead, in body, in flesh, now with a resurrected body, but really, truly, there was an empty tomb. The apostles saw you and they ate with you, and not just once, but over the course of many days. You ascended into heaven, but remain with us now in the Eucharist, Lord, here in the tabernacle. You are present substantially, not accidentally, not in a localized way. Locally, Lord, you're in heaven. But you are present substantially under these appearances. It's a great miracle. This is the way in which you have wished to remain with us after your resurrection and ascension. And so we can come to the tabernacle. We can actually speak to you, Lord, remaining with us in the sacramental way. And you give me the grace I need to struggle and to win. Great works, Lord, you will work in each one of us. But great works in the silence of God, in our prayer. On the outside, no one can tell anything. Maybe they can see we're asleep, but aside from that, not much. But everything is taking place in our hearts as the Spirit moves us. When we say yes, and becoming a man, Lord, you have become a man forever. Your ascension into heaven is the ascension of our human nature into heaven. A man forever. That is the commitment that God makes to us. A man with a heart. Divine love in a human heart. And that means that we need to take our vocation as Christians so seriously, as Pope Leo tells us. Know your dignity, O Christian. How often people get so hung up about the moral teachings of the church, one way or another, when really, you know, it's the incarnation that is the great scandal. Our Muslim brethren are scandalized by the fact that we should say that God would become a man. You know, they find it blasphemous. And we should be constantly amazed that God has condescended to become one of us, to save us in this way. It's the craziness of love that God has. Our Lady knew something of that craziness of love. And that's why she responded, body and soul, throughout her life and now even in heaven after the Assumption, continuing that mission for each one of us. We have a devotion to Mary. All of us should have tremendous devotion to Our Lady and to grow in love for her more and more, seeking to respond as she did to the marvels of God that took place in her heart, in her soul.
That was Living Faith with Father Richard Umbers. For more, go to cradio.org.au.